At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's up, bros? I'm Jonathan.
And I'm Caleb.
And we're a couple of bros on a mission to give you guys the most detailed movie reviews out there with as little bias as possible. Welcome to the All Bros. This week on the podcast, we're going to be talking about our weekly watches, what me and Caleb have been up to this week with movies. Spoiler alert, really not that much because we've kind of more so been focusing on TV, but we don't really talk about TV shows here. But so that's why our movie lineup isn't that big, but you know, that's okay. Yeah. It happens sometimes. But then after that, we'll be getting right into our breakdown of the evening, which will be our breakdown of the 2024 musical version. It's not a remake. It's a musical adaptation of the Broadway musical of Mean Girls. So it is going to be so fetch.
Stop trying to make fetch happen, Rose.
I'm going to make sure it happens by the end of this podcast, this episode. So be ready to hear fetch a lot. Okay.
Oh shit.
So yeah. What do you say we get this fetching thing started?
Let's do it.
And I already ruined it.
Hello, my name is Brucker Nurse, and I want to tell you about my fun horror movie podcast called Autopsy of a Horror Movie. On my show, I like to have fun dissecting out what makes a horror movie scary, what worked for it, what didn't, what types of fears does it play off of? Is it an allegory for any sort of message? I don't know, but let's find out. Also, I like to watch slashers. I'm a big slasher guy, so I'll watch a slasher and do a kill grade for it. I will cover the kills and I will tell you how I would grade it based on shock, method, style points, and a fourth category that is a reflection of the movie. Besides those, I'll have fun with special topic episodes, commentary tracks, interviews with guests, including some Shudder directors, so I just like to have a fun time over here. If any of this sounds interesting to you or you just want to come check me out, please head over to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere they listen to podcasts and search for Autopsy of a Horror Movie. Also, be sure to find me on Instagram at Brucker Horror, where you get fun updates and some cool little posts that I do. Thanks for listening, and I hope that you get to enjoy the show, and I'll see you on Instagram. Bye.
All right, so jumping straight into weekly watches. This week, Caleb and I only watched one movie each, which it's kind of sad for us, but you know what? That's okay. We were both focused on watching Ted. That's where most of our time went.
Yeah. Well, technically, you watched two. I watched one.
All right. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Okay. Touche.
So it was a slow movie week for me for sure, and it was Rose's fault because yeah, he freaking turned me on to Ted, and holy balls, that show is hilarious.
So good. If we never got a Ted 3, but this is even better.
This is so much better.
Ted, the series is amazing. If you guys haven't checked it out, go watch it on Peacock. Like, seriously. Like, it's already its most streamed original show. Me and Caleb aren't surprised at all.
Yeah. So. Yeah, it is that freaking good.
But talking about what we actually did watch movie wise, I watched Norbit. I have not seen this movie honestly since I was a kid. Like when I saw that, I have a apparently I was a weird kid. Well, actually, I was a weird kid. I'm not even gonna try to say I wasn't, but I had a tendency to see very raunchy comedies with my grandma in theaters. Because there was this Don't Mess with the Zohan, Little Man, like the list goes on and on. And so like, I remember really liking this movie when I was a kid. I loved it. I thought it was hilarious. Eddie Murphy was amazing in the three roles that he plays. And the only thing that still stays true to that statement is the part that Eddie Murphy is great in all three roles that he plays. I can do without Mr. Wong. Cause nowadays, I find him, I'm not going to talk about it. There's some problems with that performance.
Let's just say it hasn't aged well.
Yes, there we go. But when it comes to Eddie Murphy as Norbit and Respucia, I freaking love him in these roles just as much as I did when I was a kid. He freaking is hilarious in these roles. Like seriously, like the prosthetics are amazing. They freaking blow my mind. What drags it down is everything else. Like the story is not good. It's so mean spirited. Like, oh my God. And the supporting cast is so wasted. Fanny Newton, Cuba Gooding Jr. and Terry Crews. So wasted in their roles. Terry Crews tries to make his work and make it funny, but it just doesn't, unfortunately.
Sucks. That, right? That in that case, you know, that shitty writing, because Terry Crews is awesome in everything that he does.
Right, exactly. But yeah, just it really sucks that like it's not as good as I remember. But like I said, the biggest positive, or maybe the only positive you could say, is just Eddie Murphy is great in these two specific roles as Norbit and Respucia. He is, even though like Respucia is such a, she's so mean spirited and such an asshole to Norbit. but he just does it. He just, his acting going off of each other is just so well. And the fact that he plays these two roles just blows my mind. So yeah, but unfortunately, like, excuse me, for everything else that doesn't work, like I can't really even recommend, like, oh yeah, go stream it right now. Like if you really don't have any, if like you're looking for like a comedy that's just like maybe like worth a one watch, if you got nothing better to do, there you go, maybe watch Norbit. And it is on Paramount Plus right now if you guys want to check it out. But just, yeah, no, for, I'm sorry to say, it gets a nothing better to do.
Man, that sucks. Because yeah. I feel like this is one of those, I won't even say it's like prime time Eddie Murphy, but this is like, when I think of Eddie Murphy, this is like the period of time that I think about with him.
I will say though, and this is probably freaking hot take here. His portrayal of these two characters, when it comes to him playing characters in like prosthetic special effects, I like him as these characters more than I liked him in the Nutty Professor films.
Really?
Yeah, I know that's a hot take. I'm probably okay. Gonna get some hate for that. but that's just my opinion.
That's insane.
Oh, here come all the hate comments. Just the Nutty Professor fans just coming for me. I can feel it.
Yep. All right. Yeah. So following that up, the other movie that you watched and the only one that I ended up watching this week, or this past week, was Saltburn.
Probably the most uncomfortable movie that I have ever watched.
Easily the most uncomfortable movie that I've ever watched. So for those of you that don't know, and I know we didn't freaking make an announcement about it. We definitely, like, we need to remember to do that next time.
Yes.
But we took part in Plunging 5 a cause. And we broke down this movie. And yep. I cannot say that I regret anything more. The breakdown itself was great. Like,
yeah,
we had a fantastic time. Like,
I think DJ regrets it more than we do.
I don't know about that. I think I'm on the same level as freaking DJ.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I might be a little
something scarred into my brain, and I'm like, oh man.
You know what? It sucks. Because I think maybe I'm just like a little above you guys. But like, I don't know, are we allowed to do spoilers for weekly watches, or do we try to stay away from them?
No, we. The Saltburn's one. The weaker streamits and below, like whatever, those are free game. I think the stronger streamits and above, those ones like we try to avoid.
Okay, so the biggest problem that I have with this movie, well, there's a lot, but
yeah, where like, do you want to
I
start,
was,
dude?
Yeah, right. So I was actually kind of for the most part, I was intrigued at the beginning of this movie, like how diving
with
into
what?
Well, no, I thought the character that Barry Keoghan, however, God, I always screw up his last name, was playing. I felt he was kind of interesting, the way that they were telling his story, you know, him meeting up with, becoming friends with, oh my God, what was his name again? Excuse me.
Felix.
Felix. Him becoming, them forming a friendship was, you know, it was kind of entertaining. I was interested. It completely freaking lost me when he drank his semen water.
Oh, shit, dude.
Like, yeah, there is a scene where he listens to Felix jerking off in the bathtub, and then after Felix leaves, as the water is almost drained, he drinks his cum filled water. And it is one of the most uncomfortable scenes that I have ever seen.
Yep. And that should tell you everything you need to know about this movie. Because guess what? That's not even the worst thing that happens.
Oh, man. Just.
Yeah. So we discussed that on Plunging Five of Cause. We did a full breakdown for it. I don't know if people are going to be able to go back and like listen to that, or if that was just like a live thing only.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll find out. Like, we'll find out what the situation is, or what the status is on that, and then I don't know. Maybe we'll make it a either a bonus if we can like pull that. Like, we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah.
But I mean, we'll spoil it later down the line, like in terms of like the breakdown we did. But yeah, this movie was uncomfy.
And that's not the most uncomfortable scene.
Nope. I'll say that definitely is like top five, but
there's a top five for sure.
Yeah. This, whatever you think about this movie, or if whatever your feelings are about what Rose just said, just amplify that by like 100. And that's about as comfy as you're going to be watching this movie. Yeah. So we are giving that a nothing better to do, because this is something that we will never watch again.
No.
There's some movies that I've watched that, like, if you were to ask me, like, that have been, it's been so long since I've seen them. Like, if you were to ask me, oh, have you seen this movie? I'd have to think about it. Mm-hmm. About whether or not I've seen it. And it's kind of like the Norbit situation. I feel like I've seen it. I'm not 100% sure. But this is a movie that if someone says, hey, have you ever seen Saltburn? Instant, yeah.
Unfortunately.
This, like, it will be like 50 years down the line. Like, hey, Grandpa, like, have you ever seen this movie? I sure did. And how do you know what that movie is? So yeah, no bueno.
No.
And like we discuss it in our little breakdown of it. It's not necessarily that the movie's creepy or like that it has weird stuff like that. It's just poorly structured. The story is just, it's not great.
Yeah.
you don't like, there's the motivations that these characters have is non-existent.
Like, and I feel that, because I'm sure that there's got to be at least one person that, you know, like talking about, you know, like the drinking the semen water and everything. They're just going to be like, oh, well, you know, you guys just don't get it. You're not gay. You know, you're straight. And I will back our statement up being like, I'm bi. And even I think that that's freaking weird.
Dude, setting the orientation aside, that's weird. For anyone.
No, I agree. Oh, I absolutely agree. But you know that there's going to be at least one person that's just like, oh, you guys just don't, you just don't get it. Like, some people are into that stuff.
Okay, first off, if you do get it, go seek help.
Yeah, please. Go see a therapist. Because y'all need it.
Yeah, not trying to, like, yuck anyone's yum here, but no. Just, no.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Oh man, I just wanted to freaking point that out, because like there's got to, maybe not on our podcast, but like there's probably at least one person out there just be like, oh, you just don't get it, because you know you don't.
You're
like
absolutely correct on that, sir. Yeah. I do not get it.
Yeah, I don't get it, and I'm bisexual, so there you go.
Yeah, no thanks. Dude, honestly. Listen, this has nothing to do with, personally, this has nothing to do about, like, the whole gay, straight, or sexual orientation for me. Let me think of how I want to word this. I love my wife more than anything in the world. I would rather stab myself in the leg with a very, very blunt knife than drink her bathwater. You yeah. could not pay me enough to do that.
I love that answer. That's true love right there. Folks, you are listening to true love right there.
Yeah. Like, no. Just no.
It's weird.
Like, it is weird. Yeah. It's just, again, this is with someone that I spend my life with that has seen me at my worst, and I have seen her at her worst. I will never drink her bathwater. And gosh, this is a weird discussion to have, isn't it?
A little bit. I'm sorry if I opened too many doors bringing that up.
This is why I'm saying it has nothing to do with, like, oh, it's just a kink. No, this is a mental health problem.
Very much so. And if you guys do watch the movie, there's a part way more down the line that's even more of a mental health problem.
For not just the character, for the actor.
Yeah. Barry, my boy, what were you thinking?
Just, oh my gosh, just, bro. What?
It's not like you were getting paid extra for coming up. I know. With that.
I think that's what throws me. Just like, you did that. That was extra credit without the credit.
Dude, straight up. Oh God. Yeah. So yeah, Saltburn. Don't watch it. Yeah. Or, you know, unless you got,
save yourself the trouble.
If you really want to, I guess go for it. But like, be prepared for one of the most uncomfortable movies that you will probably ever experience in your life.
Yeah. And we'll attempt to get our hands on the little breakdown we did, maybe release it as a bonus episode or whatever. But yeah, it is no bueno.
No, not at all.
Yeah. And yeah, with that's everything that we've watched this week.
Yeah. So yeah, that's it for weekly watches. So Caleb, what do you say we get into our breakdown of the evening?
I say let's do it. And to celebrate this being Mean Girls, I say we change our tune a little bit. There we go.
Because on Tuesdays we wear pink. I know it's Tuesday. Wednesdays. I know it's Wednesdays, but we record these on Tuesdays. So Tuesdays our backgrounds are pink.
Yeah. Well, okay. We're not live streaming this.
Okay, and that's true.
We do sometimes record on. I mean, if you didn't say anything, we could have lied.
God damn it, son of a bitch! I really should have worn pink. I should have worn my pink polo that I have. God damn it.
Yeah, I don't own anything pink yet.
Okay, I got an idea. When after, you know, the Mean Girls episode comes out and everything, we get your amazing art that you design. When it comes to our Tee Public shop, do they offer pink in hoodies?
No.
Damn it. I was going to say, I'm going to buy both of us a pink hoodie, and we're going to sport that the next time that I'm there. But on a Wednesday, of course.
I think that would only make sense with the meme or within the context of like going to see Mean Girls.
No. We can just start wearing pink all the time on Wednesdays. This movie pushes us to do that now every single week.
I mean, it might be pushing you a bit harder than it's pushing me, but
wow. Caleb's a party pooper. Wow. I'm asking to do one thing for the All Bros. And he won't do it. Actually, he does so much for the All Bros, so I can't really say anything. I can't say that. Oh, shit. Anyway, getting into our breakdown of Mean Girls. Caleb, I can't remember. Did we post a question of the week?
We recorded one.
So no bueno.
No. Okay, so what ended up happening with that is I was posting catch-up stuff, and then I thought I posted the question of the week until I checked, like, before we recorded.
Oh, shit.
And I was like, oh, damn it.
Oops. Ah, it's okay.
Yeah, we recorded it. I just forgot to post it. Yeah.
It's all good. Well, anyway, then moving on to the next segment of the breakdown. Caleb, do you want to let people know how we break down movies on this podcast?
I would love to. All right. If you are new to our breakdown system, we have split movies into 8 different categories that we individually score to come to a final All Bros letter grade. The 8 categories that we score are story, writing, acting, character development, effects, music, costumes, and then we give it our own personal score at the very end. All of those numbers get magically added up and spit through our algorithm and give us a letter grade to compare this movie to others of a similar grade. So if you have not seen Mean Girls 2024, you're probably fine as long as you've seen the original Mean Girls.
Yeah. They don't really add any. Did they really add anything?
Not
just the music. Thing. Yeah. Just the music.
Yeah, so there's not much to spoil as long as you've seen the original Mean Girls. If you have, or if you haven't seen that, then yeah, there's going to be spoilers ahead in our favorite segment. So I'm going to post the spoiler warning now. But yeah, in our favorite segment that we like to call Reading with Rose.
Why is it everyone else's favorite segment except for mine?
Well, that's how these segments work, Rose.
Well, I don't like that.
Well, too bad.
All right. 16-year-old homeschooled Katie Heron moves back to the United States from Kenya with her mother and attends North Shore High School. Katie befriends outsiders Janice Mieke. Did they ever say how to pronounce her last name?
Not that I caught.
Okay. So we're just going to go with Janice Mieke. I hope that's right. And Damien Hubbard, who introduce her to the various cliques and warn her to avoid the plastics. Who consists of the doubtful Gretchen Wieners, unintelligent Karen Shetty, and Queen Bee Regina George. Regina invites Katie to join the Plastics. Oh, I'm sorry, Caddy. My bad. Apologies. Janice uses this as an opportunity to convince Caddy to infiltrate the group for her. Caddy can... Okay, I can't do it. Katie becomes attracted to Aaron Samuels, a senior in her calculus class and Regina's ex-boyfriend. Katie tells Gretchen and Karen that she likes Aaron, who warn her that he is off limits as he has dated Regina. Katie goes to Regina's house with the Plastics, and Regina's mom finds her old burn book, a scrapbook the Plastics filled with cruel content about students and staff at the school. Oh my God, excuse me. Katie tells Janice and Damien about the burn book, and they explain that Janice and Regina were once friends but fell out after Regina outed Janice as a lesbian to the school. I really appreciate that, even though we don't, you know, like actually see a flashback or anything, we actually see the whole school this time around of like the true fallout between Regina and Janice. So I actually really appreciate that they added that.
I did too. Like, it was something that I had to double check. I'm like, did we ever get that backstory? But yeah, so very happy that they gave us that.
Yeah. Katie begins to intentionally fail math to get closer to Aaron, who invites her to his Halloween party. Regina discovers Katie's crush on Aaron and, in a fit of jealousy, flirts with Aaron before kissing him in front of Katie. Realizing Janice was right about Regina, she agrees to commit to her plan to ruin Regina's reputation. Katie tricks Regina into eating weight gain calcium bars to lose weight and replaces her face cream with lard. The trio target Gretchen's insecurities by having a candy cane gram sent to Katie on Regina's behalf, making Gretchen think Katie is her new best friend. Gretchen reveals Regina's secrets to Katie, including her cheating on Aaron with football player Shane Omen. Regina's reputation takes a further hit after a disastrous performance at the Winter Talent Show leads to viral embarrassment, with Regina's social status plummeting. Which leads to Regina's social status plummeting, and Katie becomes the new Queen Bee. Janice invites Katie to her art show, but Katie tells her she has to travel with her mom on a business trip. However, Katie later convinces her mom to let her stay home and secretly throws a house party where she drunkenly admits to Aaron that she has been deliberately failing math to get closer to him. Aaron rebukes Katie for becoming as manipulative as Regina and storms out. Katie follows him out and is confronted by Janice, who confronts her on being as catty as Regina. Katie accuses Janice of being in love with her, and Janice responds that Katie has become fully plastic, renouncing their friendship. I don't think she actually says the line. It's not like you're in love. It's like you're in love with me or something. I swear she says something else.
No, she says that she's obsessed.
That's
okay, and then yeah. That's the term that Regina used with Janice, like when they were friends. And the reason that she was saying that is because she was like lesbian, and that's like, oh, she loves me. So I guess it kind of goes hand in hand. So it was just like that assumption.
Okay.
And so it was just that terminology. That was what Regina had used. So I think that's why it was just like, oh, because she's like in love with her or whatever.
Okay.
At least that's how I figured it.
No, that makes sense. Regina discovers that she was not invited to the party, and that Katie lied about the calcium bars. She adds herself into the burn book and deliberately drops it in the school hallway. Upon the discovery, during this part when, you know, she, you know, just drops the burn book instead of, you know, making copies and everything, throwing them around the school. I'm just like, wait, then how the hell are people going to get the spread? And everyone starts taking out their phones like, duh, Jonathan, it's 2020. It's it's the 2020s. I had a moment there.
That was honestly one of my favorite things that they did, or the changes that they made. I never really liked how she went and posted everything around the school, because I was like, that's a lot of work.
Yeah.
And then this, it was just simple. It was like borderline elegant. Yes. And it spread like freaking wildfire. And I'm like, fantastic. Yeah. That's how it should have been done. But obviously, that couldn't have been the case back in whenever. When was this other? 2006?
2004.
2004? Yeah, that wouldn't have worked in 2004.
Yeah. Sorry. Wow. She answers something. Upon the discovery, a riot breaks out among the junior girls over the rumors in the book. Principal Duval and math teacher Miss Norberry organize the junior girls into the gymnasium to find the source of the book. Miss Norberry stages a cathartic intervention, encouraging the girls to apologize to each other about their treatment of others. Janice speaks out and reveals the whole plan to take revenge on Regina, who storms out in anger and, during a confrontation with Katie, is hit by a bus. This one felt more violent than the...
Oh my gosh, dude.
Damn. Like, I...
Did you jump?
Yeah, I did. I don't know, like the one in 2004, like it's like such a quick shot. You're just like, oh, freaking, you see her body move with the bus. You're just like, oh my God. Like,
dude, like I'll be real. I forgot that was coming until they were like outside. I'm like, oh, she's about to get hit by the, and then boom, like the bus comes. I'm like, oh shit.
Oh shit.
I'm glad that they were able to surprise me again with that.
No, dude, same here. Yeah, I did not expect to get a freaking jump scare from the freaking bus. So freaking kudos to them. They did great with that.
Mm-hmm.
I think what throws you off because you know their fight is happening in the background while you're listening to Janice's song. That's what I feel that's what throws you off. Like you're not focused on the fight.
Because oh, for real,
no,
dude.
There's no dialogue this time around, which is perfectly fine because the song that Janice sings is great. So the fact that you're focused on Janice and you're not really focused on Regina and Katie. So yeah, freaking when the bus comes, you're like, oh shit, yeah, I forgot that's supposed to come in the scene.
they handled that beautifully.
They did. Oh God. Katie realizes the damage she has done and takes full responsibility for the book, leading to her. Oh my God. Excuse me. I'm so sorry. Leading her to be suspended for 3 weeks. Miss Norberry offers Katie a way to earn extra credit by joining the mathletes at state championships. And Katie redeems herself after helping the team win. At the Spring Fling, Katie reconciles with Regina and is elected Spring Fling Queen, but snaps the plastic crown and gives pieces out to the girls, telling them that they are all special in their own way. Katie apologizes to Janice and Damien, who accept her back as their friend and makes amends with the plastics. Katie also makes up with Aaron as they kiss.
Hell yeah.
I will admit there were some changes with the plot that I liked that, like, because yes, you know, like they... It's the same movie, you know, it's the same plot, but they do make some changes. I mean, of course, you know, with it being a musical adaptation of the musical from Broadway, that's like the hugest difference, but they do tweak some things that I really liked. Like, I like how the ending is, it just ends at the Spring Fling. Whereas in the original, you see them like in their own cliques back at school. And then like they introduce like the new plastics and they joke about them getting hit by a bus. Like I like that this one just ended at the Spring Fling.
Same here. I think it would have been, if would have felt odd to introduce new plastics. One thing that I really liked that was that Regina at the end, like at the Spring Fling, was freaking like doped up.
it's like, I like you, but I'm really medicated right now, so I like everybody. The fact that she misses the crown when she throws it to her.
Dude, that was such a lovely piece of comedy.
Like, so great.
It's fantastic. I freaking loved that they were able to add that
freaking that, and then they had the mom get in with the pictures, and she's freaking like she was having some intimate shots with what was his name,
Shane Owen.
Yeah. Like damn woman.
Yeah, dude, that was as funny as hell.
Yeah,
oh man,
this like, oh sorry, go.
No, I was just saying, like, they like the changes that they did make were really well done, but I think they knew what to touch and what not to.
Yes,
because like all of the classic lines and stuff, like hop in, loser, we're like we're going shopping, or we're
dude, freaking the way that Renee Rapp says that line and like with the glasses like pulled down, I'm like, damn girl, slay,
dude. She, oh, I can't wait to talk about what acting.
Oh my god, yeah, she.
But yeah, I mean, just talking about story first, getting like right into it. This was really well executed. This, I'll say this. There were some things about the original that I feel they just couldn't quite match.
That's fair.
Which, I mean, which tracks. Like, we kind of expected that to be the case, right?
Yeah.
But the things that they added or changed or whatever, those were really welcome changes.
Agreed.
Like the update about how the burn book was spread, or like I said, Regina being doped up at Spring Fling. And like just those little items too. I feel like the everything just kind of like pulled together really well.
Yeah.
Again, and it's because they knew what to touch and what not to.
Apparently, and I think this was really cool. When Janice and Damien go to Katie's party and they pull up on his like freaking grandma's scooter. I had no idea. That's actually from the Broadway version. So they decided to bring that over from there. And I love that they did that. That's freaking awesome.
That's amazing. Oh my gosh. I loved the new Janice and Damien.
Dude, seriously. Like the fact that they were the narrators for this was even was way better. Like, oh my god, I loved them so much. They were so good.
Yeah.
How did you feel about the plastics this time around?
I liked them.
I did too. I will say maybe it's just me, the like, and I know that they're not like real like true friends, but I don't know, it felt like kind of more like a closer bond in the original than in this one.
That is absolutely true. I would say with oh shit, I need to pull up their freaking names and stuff. I am not gonna remember. 2024. Okay, so the one that played Gretchen, who was she originally played? Was that Amanda Seyfried's character, or was that Karen, or was she Karen?
No, she was Karen.
She was Karen. Okay. The new Karen, I think, was just a little too dumb.
Dude, I felt the same way. Like the first time we're introduced to her and like she like misses the straw and it goes up her nose, I'm like, okay, like, yeah, you're dumbing her up a little too much here. She was never this dumb in the like, and I know she was dumb, but just, I don't know, the way that they played her dumbness in the original was, I feel way better in this one. Although her freaking song that she sings at the Halloween party, that was freaking solid. Great. Yeah, that was a great. Solid
freaking song. I did like the new Gretchen though.
I did too. She added so much more dynamic to the character, to the point where like I felt more bad for this Gretchen than I did in
dude, the original. No joke. Like, no joke.
She was great.
They played on that panic of her so well.
Yes.
That, like I said, in the like, or like you just said, in the original, I don't think they quite pulled off as well as they wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
But this was done amazingly.
Yeah. Yeah, she was
like,
yeah.
So much so I like there was a lot like of things that I understood better because of this movie.
That's fair. That is completely fair. Like, what are some examples?
So the biggest one, obviously being Gretchen, but I'd say like the guilt trip that what's her face, Katie, did or pulled on her parents to like stay home or whatever the case was for that. I liked how that kind of played a factor. Like, she had to like guilt her mom into leaving her.
No, I honestly liked the parent relationship way more in this one than I did in the first.
It was a lot more impactful.
Yeah.
And that was another change, that after her suspension, in the original, it was just, she went back to school and kind of dealt with everything herself. She never really discussed all that stuff with her parents. And so like the discussion that she had with her mom here was great.
Yes.
And how she was wanting to run away. And I love the line that she gives, the living here, you're learning things that I can't teach you. And I'm like, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Like that's freaking, I love that. I love that little addition. So yeah, love that change. Freaking loved Janice and Damien. I love the little like throw or the lines where or like when Katie or when Regina was using the lard face cream stuff, and she's like, where did you get this? And the little like flashback to Janice and Damien putting lard in there, and just like ding. Like that, I love that. I love those little comedic bits that they were able to throw in with those two. Those two were fantastic.
They were so good.
Yeah. I feel like, and correct me if I'm wrong, did they make Aaron an asshole in the other one?
Not really. I mean, honestly, I feel like his character's played the same in this one.
Okay. I wasn't sure, because I was remembering for whatever reason that he was like an asshole.
No.
And trying to fool around with Katie when she was, or not fool around. I was remembering for whatever reason that he was like a shitty character, or ended up being shitty. And it would play it off a bit different this go round, where when Regina was like seducing him, it played a lot better in this.
It did. And I think the song definitely helped with that scene. Cause yeah, in the original, all of a sudden, Kate, you know, Regina's telling him about how, you know, Katie like has a journal that says I heart Aaron Samuels and all this. I appreciate it in this one. Like, she didn't like say any of that kind of stuff. She's like, she's my friend, and you know, I think she really has a huge crush on you. And she really just leaves it at that. She doesn't like try to be like, oh, you know, like she does this, and this. Like, it's kind of cute, but it's a little creepy. So I appreciated that they didn't like push it to that level. But yeah, in the original, literally she says that, and then she just goes and all of a sudden just kisses him. And so I feel in this one, there's a lot more better buildup to them getting back together. And the song that leads into it is definitely a huge help.
Yeah. Like, I think the songs were able to improve on the scenes like that a lot.
Yes.
And so it was able to make the story make a little bit more sense, make it flow a little bit better than maybe the original did. I will still say, I do think overall the original is like, you can't beat the original.
No, you can't.
But this was a pretty solid like follow up.
Yeah. This can proudly stand on a pedestal right next to the original.
Yeah. I wish we got more cameos though.
Dude, seriously, I thought the same. Like, because we get a cameo from Lindsay Lohan in this. She plays the contest announcer. But yeah, I was hoping we would get one from Amanda Seyfried, the girl that played Gretchen, freaking even the original Regina George. Yeah, I was hoping for like all four of them to cameo.
I don't know if Rachel McAdams would have.
I don't know. I think, okay, so I know I. No, good, fair point. But did you see that like interview where like they were asking her about like the Walmart commercial, and she said that if she would have known that the other three were coming back, that she would have gladly done it, because she would have loved to.
So that was my reference. I'm like, well, she didn't do the Walmart commercial, so I figured like maybe she's just not like into doing that role again.
No,
if they didn't even approach her about it, that's a completely separate thing.
So I think they did. So they approached her about the commercial, but she's like, eh, I don't really want to do a commercial because I guess that she just doesn't like doing them. But she was never told when she was pitched the commercial that, oh, hey, we're getting the other three back. She was never told that. She wasn't told it was going to be a plastics reunion. So if she was told that, she would have gladly come back and had been a part of it. But unfortunately she wasn't told that at the time. But yeah, freaking like I was, cause like I saw that there was an end credit scene. So I'm like, oh, okay. You know, that'd be really cool if like maybe they incorporate all four of them into
dude,
that.
What a letdown.
Dude, right? Dude, that part was in the freaking trailer. Like, you could be really hot if we had fixed like everything. And then that's it. I'm just like, so like literally I'm not saying I wasted time watching the credits because I love watching, you know, seeing how many people worked on these films. But the fact that it was a freaking clip that I saw in the goddamn trailer, like, yeah, that was one of the most pointless end credit scenes I've ever seen.
Dude, I would have much preferred for it to just go black after that. Like, are you kidding? I like out loud was just like, come on.
No, dude. I got off. I'm just like, okay. So same clip I saw in the in the trailer. Okay. Thank God I was the only one left in the theater because I said it a little too loud.
Yeah, that was some horse shit.
Yeah, that was
wasted opportunity. Like I would have really liked for like this is personally what I would have done. I would have had like Lindsay Lohan come and like sit down at a bar, and then all like the four of them are at the table. And then yes. Like, and then have like the one girl who kept trying to make fetch happen, have her say fetch.
Yes.
Like that's what I would have done. And then like had the whole, like, stop trying to make fetch happen. Boom. Done. That would have been the perfect. Just like, love it.
That would have been perfect. I would have loved that. But unfortunately we got what we got.
Yeah. Jeez. So yeah, that was a bummer. That was a big bummer. But I mean, the overall, like the flow of this movie was really good.
It was freaking from the, like when they started like the first song, like I don't know, like throughout, like there were moments that I could just not stop smiling. Like I had such a great time with this one.
I did too. This was good. And dude, like, have you seen the videos going around on TikTok of people like recording the audience reaction to it being a musical?
I have. Thankfully,
do it to like the third song.
Yeah, it's like, dude, the movie literally the movie first second starts with a song.
Yeah, I'm like, what did you think? Like, you're just reacting to it now?
Yeah.
Because I was expecting that to be like the first song. I'm like, wow, that's kind of deep into the story before they do a song.
Yeah, dude, right.
And
yeah,
then I went and watched it. Yeah, went to go see it today. And I was just like, that's horse shit.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's a musical by now. Like, they don't keep it a freaking secret until that point.
I was honestly with the audience that I was with today, which honestly, okay, today with Mean Girls, one of the best theater experiences I've ever had.
Oh, that's awesome.
There was nobody on their phones. Nobody talked. It was fantastic. But there were like some old people that were around me. And I honestly was just waiting for one of them to let out a big, ugh, when they found out I was a musical. No freaking. So like there was a couple in front of me and then three elderly ladies to like kind of like in front all the way to the left. They were freaking getting into it. They were enjoying it. I loved it. But then what shocked me is, there wasn't a lot of like laughter at the jokes that were in the movie. Like the only people that laughed, I felt in the theater were me and like the guy that was a little, ways down on the same row. Like we were the only people that laughed. It's like,
dude, that always makes me super self-conscious.
Dude, right. I'm just like, okay, like this is funny, right? I think this is funny.
Dude, that made me like, that's the same situation that I had. So my theater was practically empty other than these two. I'm assuming that they were friends. Mm-hmm. And I felt weird coming in to the theater because I was wearing like I was wearing a jacket. I was wearing dark colors and like going to check out Mean Girls. Like, I felt a little like self-conscious about it.
Dude, never feel self-conscious for a movie.
No, I felt self-conscious about it because they, like, as soon as I came in, they were like eyeballing where I was sitting.
Oh, I hate it when people do that.
Yeah. So, and I think it was because they felt like they were in danger or something.
Oh my God.
But yeah, I was laughing pretty hard at some of this stuff, and they were not laughing at all.
This movie was hilarious.
Right? It's so good.
Thinking.
I'm like, making me feel like a weirdo.
Right? Okay, I have to know, though. Did they wear pink?
No.
Wow.
I don't think.
Don't worry, nobody in my theater wore pink either.
Well, it is Tuesday, so.
That's true. You know what? You're right.
Oh man, but yeah, it was a solid story. I liked what they were able to do, and like, this was definitely one of the more musicals I would have had issues with if they would have not made the music part of the storytelling.
That's fair.
But the fact that they were able to push the story forward using the music was a big benefit in my eyes. Because I hate when it's just like, oh, taking a quick pause to tell or to sing this song.
Yeah.
Or this like random ass song that has no bearing on the story whatsoever. Like, every song felt necessary.
Yes, it did.
To the plot. So I'm not quite in the 90s with this yet.
That's fair. I'm not either, honestly.
Yeah. Where are you sitting at?
Dude, like this is how you do an update to a classic. Even though, like I said before, this isn't really even considered a remake because it's an adaptation of the musical. But like, this is like a perfect example of how you make you bring a movie back for a new audience that can hopefully appreciate the story all over again. And they did such a great job. So I don't know. I think I'm at an 88.
I'm like right there with you. I'm sitting at an 87.
All right.
Hell all right. Yeah. Next up, we got writing.
Writing was pretty solid here too.
It was not bad.
Don't get me wrong. I feared Regina George in the original. Like, I fear both of them, but like the way that she's written in this one. Oh, damn. She's.
And this is probably an acting thing. I am with you. So I didn't quite feel the level of intimidation for the Rachel McAdams Regina George that I felt for this version of Regina George. Dude, she killed it.
Dude, right? The fact that she played Regina George on the Broadway version of this. So they just brought her into the movie version.
Makes great me so call. Happy.
Dude, great right? call. It was perfect. Like, oh my God. I've never seen the Broadway adaptation, but from what I've seen, I'm sure she didn't miss a goddamn beat. Because
I would be surprised if she did.
Because, yeah, like, ugh.
Dude, honestly, if it ever comes out that they're just like, oh, well, she didn't give as strong of a performance as she did on Broadway, I'd be like, I need tickets to that immediately.
Yeah.
You're telling me she did better on Broadway? she killed it. Like I said, I never really felt that intimidation for Regina before. And this, it was immediate too. I was just like I was uneasy. The second she touched the screen, I was like, oh shit.
And it is the song helps so much. Like the way they're just like, oh my God, it's her. Don't look her in the eyes. And you see her walk in and just, and you don't see her face yet. And just you hear her sing that my name is Regina George. I'm like, man, I'm getting goosebumps over here.
Like, shit, should I hide? Like, funny enough, they weren't talking to Katie, they were talking to the audience.
Yep. Oh man.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. The intimidation. And then like as they got along, the intimidation just got like better.
Yeah. Like, seriously. Like, God, yeah, shoot. Like, I feel every character here, almost every character, is expanded on from the original. And I really appreciate that a lot. I feel that, and we've already talked about her, I feel the one that, like, I feel gets dumbed down way too much is Karen.
Yep.
Karen, I feel, had a lot more character in the first one. Cause you know, like I love that moment that she has with Katie, where Katie's just like, you're not dumb, Karen. She's like, yeah, I am. You know, they have a really nice talk about, you know, who Karen is. But yeah, like here, you never see any of those moments. Yeah. And I'm not knocking the actress. She does great with what she's given. But just, yeah, like out of everybody, she unfortunately gets the short end of the stick, because everybody else's character is, I feel, gets more depth than they did in the original, especially Damien and Janice. Like, oh my God, they were amazing. Gretchen, like you pointed out earlier, everyone's character writing gets expanded on from the original, except for Karen.
Yeah. I think, like, with expanding on everyone else, like, there is someone that kind of has to take a back seat to it. And when you're doing something that's a little bit more emotional with Gretchen, like, yeah, you kind of have to, like, let someone go to the wayside. And unfortunately, that just happened to be Karen.
It's true. I feel, if I'm thinking of another one, that his character's not ruined. It's just he stays the exact same as he was in the original. It would be Aaron's character. Nothing really changes with him.
And I would have minded less Aaron and more Karen.
Same, honestly. Because, like, I love the actress that they picked to play Karen. Like, what she did was great. But just, yeah, if we could have gotten some more moments of, like, honestly, even just, like, how, I don't know, her connection with Regina and Gretchen, like, would have added more to her character.
Yeah. Yeah, the writing here, I'd say, is pretty on par, but I would say I'd put it a little bit lower.
I'm with you there.
Not much, though. Like, where I'm giving story an 87, I'm probably going to give writing an 86.
I'm going to match you there. I'm going to be an 86, too.
All right, next up, we got acting. So, pulling up this cast list real quick. All right, first up, we have Angouri Rice, who played Katie Heron. We have Renee Rapp, who played Regina George. Then we have, don't know how to pronounce that.
I think it's
Owley Craval.
I hope I spelled it right. I think it's Alihi.
Alihi?
I think it's Alihi Cravalho.
Is this?
I could be getting wrong.
Is this Moana?
Yes.
Oh, this is Moana.
Yep, this is Moana.
Dude, I knew that voice sounded familiar.
Right?
Yeah. All right. Next, we got Jaquel Spivey, who played Damien Hubbard. Bebe Wood, who played Gretchen Wieners. Is it BB?
I think it's BB.
Okay. BB Wood, who played Gretchen Wieners. I keep forgetting that her last name is Wieners. That shit's hilarious. I don't care who you
are. It absolutely is.
Let's see. Avantika, who played Karen Shetty. Christopher Briney, who played Aaron Samuels. Oh, he's the last one. And Christopher Briney, who played Aaron Samuels.
I didn't know if you wanted me to include the teacher, so I just included the...
I'd say no. Okay. They were in it a decent chunk, but I think it was just shy of what I'd say is worth putting on here.
Okay. So,
yeah. So what's your top three look like?
Oh God, this is so hard.
Dude, it is ridiculous. Dude,
this is one of the hardest, because everyone does so good.
I think I have like an obvious number one. And then a very, very close second. Okay. And then number three, I'm like everyone else.
So is number one, I'm going to just assume, is number one Renee Rapp?
Yes.
Okay. Same here. Okay. Okay. So both of our number ones is Renee Rapp, who played Regina George, because
She is queen. She killed it.
Oh my gosh, dude. Like I said, never felt that intimidation towards Regina George until her.
Yeah.
Like everyone else is like, oh my gosh, like she seems so like mean and vicious, and like Regina, like from the OG. I'm just like, does she though? Like it just kind of seems like she's real like bitchy.
Yeah.
And but this one, I'm like, yeah, I get how you could fall for that shit. And like when she went and like scared that one girl, like when they were singing the Apex Predator song. And she like walks up and like scares that girl off. I was like, oh shit.
Oh man.
Like, yeah, that startled me too.
All right, so both agree with number one, Renee Rapp. Mm. Number two. God, this is so hard. I think number two. Oh, oops, sorry. Yeah. Number two, I'll go with Alihi Carvalho. I loved her her iteration. I think that's the word I'm looking for of Janice. Yeah, I just really, so in the first one, her name is Janet Ian. I guess in this one, they decided to change her last name. Interesting. But yeah, I loved her portrayal here of Janice. She was amazing. She, on the fact that we got the story of what happened with her and Regina, I feel that added so much more depth to, honestly, both characters. I mean, her a little more so just because, you know, a lot more emotional for her. And just, yeah, she just freaking killed it. And every scene, every song she sang just was phenomenal. Like, absolutely phenomenal. So she gets number two. I'm going to say three and four just because they're so close.
Okay.
So number three, I'm going to give to Bebe Wood for the sole fact that for how much she added to Gretchen Wiener's character, because she adds just so much more depth, emotion, just you understand more so why she wants to please Regina more in this version, which I appreciate a ton. They did a fantastic job with that. And
when she pulled out that music box and started giving the backstory on that, like the whole song that she gives after she opened that, I was just like, yo, that's heartbreaking.
Yeah, right? Seriously. Like, yeah.
That's so sad.
Yeah, no, she was fantastic. Amazing as Gretchen. But number four, and like I said, it was a coin flip just because, like, because of her, like, the depth that she added to Gretchen, like, she just slides past this one actor into third, but it's so close. But if I had to do four, I would give it to Jaquil Spivey, Damien. Freaking,
oh my gosh,
stole every single scene that he was in. Okay, you know what? Actually, no, I'm sorry. I'm gonna change up my order. You know what? Yeah. You know what? He's going to number two. Alihi Carvalho's moving down to three, and then Bebe Wood's going to four. I'm sorry. He stole every single scene that he was in. He was amazing. I loved him to death, and just I think I'm sticking with that.
Dude, you are not wrong. I am actually in agreement with you. So number one was Renee. My number two, I'm actually going to pair them as a duo, was Alihi Carvalho and Jaquil Spivey. They were the perfect dynamic duo. Like they were fantastic and absolutely zero complaints from either of their performances. Like they were so much freaking fun, and like I'd say more so than the original.
Dude, I agree. I absolutely agree.
Yeah, so I like this duo better. Like it's funny how you like we could like I love when you're able to like pick and choose like your favorites from the two. So yeah, this is like by a hair my favorite, Damien and Janice. My number four, I think I'm going to give to the lead in Gory Rice. Loved her as Katie. Interesting that they were still trying to go the redhead route with her.
It worked.
I
thought she looked great.
I thought she looked great. I wouldn't have considered her hair red though.
That's fair.
Like, I think that's something like you kind of need to go all out with that. If you're going to call her a redhead, like this was very like strawberry blonde. If
you
got to
go Lindsay Lohan red, like, come on.
I wouldn't say Lindsay Lohan. You need to go a few shades redder than what you had.
All right.
This was like barely like when they were talking about how Katie was like the new up and cover, the new Regina and everything. And they're just like, oh, my gosh, should I go red? And I was like,
I mean, strawberry
maybe
blonde.
She should first. But yeah, that's more costume complaint than anything. But she was great. I thought she added a lot of new life into this character.
Absolutely agree. She would have been my fifth, number five.
Yeah, she was great. I loved her performance, how easily she was able to switch between her different stronger emotions. Like I said, the conversation that she had with her mom, like the multiple, like how she was able to like basically be like in tears, like I can't go with you. Like, you want me to be a bad friend? And I'm like shit. Like this was like this that's something that I would have felt my kid like if like once I figured out that it was like a ruse and everything, I would have been like, I'm not believing a damn thing you're saying ever again. Like that was freaking Oscar worthy shit. And I would have fallen for it hook, line and sinker.
Same.
So yeah, like her pulling that was really funny. But then her emotional moments with her mom, like felt very genuine too. Mm-hmm. So it was fantastic. A lot more depth to the emotion. I think she was able to portray than Lindsay Lohan was.
I agree. And I feel that this one benefits, I think I already said this, it benefits a lot from it just being her mom and her, that the dad's not in the picture this time around.
Yeah. Ooh. Acting was pretty good.
Oh, dude. So, so good.
Dude, Renee Rapp, she was able to pull off the freaking jokes. Or like the comedic lines, like when she was freaking doped up so well.
Dude,
I forgot. There's a line that she says when she's all doped up, and I can't remember it for the life of me, but it made me laugh so freaking hard. Let me see if I'm hoping IMDb has some. Damn it, it's only got one line.
Oh, lame.
I don't even remember, but I knew it was that like the scene at the end when she's in the bathroom, she's just like I'm so doped. I can't feel a thing.
Yeah. Damn. I can't. The only part that I'm remembering from that is just when she's like, I like you, but I'm opped up on meds. So I like everybody.
Yeah. It was like right before that. It was like, okay. She says something that like just made me laugh. And then, oh my gosh, dude, the freaking Christmas performance, like she took that fall like a champ,
dude, seriously. Like damn. Like holy shit. Like, yeah, I like that they changed that in this one, that, you know, like it wasn't like, oh, the, like, you know, like the freaking music gets messed up and so they decide to actually start singing it and getting into it. No, this performance ends in freaking embarrassment.
Yeah.
Like, I appreciated that change.
I did too. Cause I like I said, I remember that being like, what was the thing that made Regina not popular? Was it the freaking Burn Book?
No. So in the original, it's kind of like a lot. How is it? Because they do change some things with how she becomes, you know, unpopular. Yeah, it's basically like a lot of the same gist, you know, the Gretchen and Karen says, oh, you can't sit with us, so they're not friends anymore. I feel one thing that they definitely do change with Aaron is that he actually does catch her cheating in this one, whereas in the original, he's just told that she's cheating and he believes it, and so he breaks up with her, whereas in this one, he actually full-on sees her cheating on him. Mm-hmm. And I really liked that change. So it all basically plays out the same way. Another change that I liked with this one, when Gretchen finds out, Regina finds out that the calcium bars are to gain weight, that her mom is the one that finds out it's her mom that tells them what they are. Whereas in the original,
she knows what they're for.
Yeah. Her mom knows what they're for. Whereas in the original, it's the other guy that she, it's, so it's not Aaron. It's freaking, I forget the other guy's name.
I think it's the doctor.
No. She's on a date with the other guy, the other football player.
Shane.
Yeah, Shane Owen. And he's just like, oh yeah, the coach has us eat those if we want to gain 5 pounds, or like some shit like that. Like, you know, you get the same message across, but I don't know. I just like that in this one, it was the mom that was telling her, oh hey, you know, we use that to get get your grandma to gain weight when she's in the hospital. And so yeah, but like, yeah, when it comes to Gretchen, you know, losing everything, it's basically the same thing, but just some things are tweaked.
Yeah. Oh man.
Did I say Gretchen again? I meant Regina. God damn it.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Gosh. So where are you sitting with acting? This one's tough.
It is, because everyone brings their A game. Like, I did not think that this cast could match up to the original, but they freaking do. And
they definitely give them a run for their money.
They do. And I didn't think that was possible.
What got me going is like, it was everyone.
Yeah.
Like even the chick that does, like, that didn't go to their school.
Oh yeah.
Like, what I like that they actually gave her a little bit of a reason to be there.
Yeah.
That they're like, oh, I'm here for a track meet.
So yeah. Like,
okay. That makes sense.
And the fact that she's singing at a spring fling later in a later scene is freaking hilarious.
Yeah. And Damien's just like, oh my gosh.
I love that. Cause in the original, when he says she doesn't even go here, nothing changes. Whereas in this one, he actually like ducks down after he says that.
Oh my gosh, dude. The shit that they were doing with that. Like when Katie, like when they're in the auditorium and Katie looks over at the two of them and Janice sees her, like gets wide eyed and backs up. And then he just like with the big ass fan, like, yeah, that's perfect. That so was good. Perfection.
That, and like the, when she, when Janice introduces him and says, you know, he's almost too gay to function. In the original, you don't really hear him say anything after that. Whereas in this one, he's just like, yeah, but you know, I manage. I'm just like, yeah, I love it. He owns it.
Oh man. I think I've cracked 90s barely, but I've cracked the 90s.
Okay.
So I'm sitting at a solid 90 with acting.
I'm just a tad higher. I'll go a 91.
Okay. All right. Next up, we got character development. And I mean, I think this is pretty like on par with the original.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I mean, the arc itself wasn't the best thing in the world. It wasn't in the original either, but I mean, the journey is, I'd say it's better explored in this one than the,
yeah, original. I can definitely agree with you there. I feel that you definitely get to know a lot more of Katie as a person in this one. I loved that that they kept pointing out, like, oh hey, do you miss Kenya, do you miss Africa, you know, like kind of brushing about her past, whereas like in the original, like, she talks about Africa when she first gets to school and then that's it.
Yeah,
it's really not brought up again throughout the whole movie. Whereas in this one, it is brought up a couple times throughout, and I really liked that.
Well, I mean, so it's interesting with that too, because in this was brought up in more of a storytelling fashion, like that her experiences in Kenya and all that good stuff. In the original, it was more, yeah, it was brought up once when she's like, oh, I'm the new girl. And then anything else I would say that's even kind of related to that period of time is her narration, where she's talking, like treating it like a nature documentary.
Yeah.
Like high school and everything. So this one, I feel like incorporated that aspect of her life a little bit better.
Yeah. No, I agree. What else? I was trying to think what else.
Yeah. I mean, I would say that they improved the development of Katie's character. Like, I think what the thing that I never liked about the first was, I feel like the transformation to plastic was pretty quick.
That is fair.
Where this, it like, we knew that a lot more time had passed, and like they made it a little bit easier to digest all of that. And so when she is like full blown plastic, it makes sense. Where Lindsay Lohan seemed like it took span in like a few weeks, and then her character completely shifted. This felt more like it was a year long endeavor.
Yeah, no, that's true.
So yeah, I mean, I'm bumping it a little bit. Like where with the original, I think I'd give that about an 80.
Okay.
This one I'd probably sit in a like 83 range.
You know, so I think I met you there.
All right, next up we got effects. So this didn't have any like special effects, but this was like maybe stunt work.
Like one
choreography, dancing choreography. Like we'd include that.
Can we include like camera shots?
Stuff yeah, like yeah, that? Cinematography, like camera anything shot. In that field.
One, this was like at the beginning, the freaking, you know, like after Janice and Damien are finished with the oh my god, I forgot the name of the first song, "Cautionary Tale." After they sing that song and like the freaking garage door opens and it leads into Kenya. That was freaking awesome. That was a very cool transition.
That was an amazing transition. And they pulled it off at the end too.
Yeah. Right.
Dude, I was impressed. I was genuinely impressed.
That was really good.
Holy dude, like, ball sack, dude. Janice's song. Did you notice that was all freaking like a one shot?
Yes.
Holy shit.
That was incredible. God, dude, I love one shots. They're like my favorite piece of any cinema.
Dude, same here. Like that was a one shot that I didn't recognize was one until like way later. And I was just like, yo, they haven't cut. Like,
wait a minute.
Yeah. I was like,
hold up. Wait a minute.
Yeah. Like they're always ones that like sneak up on me. Because it's like with that one specifically, I was just like, yo, this hasn't cut yet. And I like started recognizing it. I'm like, oh my gosh, like it was insane. And then just how they ended it with Regina getting hit by the bus.
Yeah.
I was just like, yo,
that was fantastic.
Like, I couldn't even imagine how long that must have taken.
Yeah, dude. Right.
Like,
apparently, I saw on TikTok someone was there, or like they filmed that scene by their house, and they were actually there when they filmed her getting hit by the bus. But I didn't want to watch the clip because I was afraid it would ruin the movie. So I got to go back and watch that and see how the behind the scenes of that is.
Yeah, I'd love to see how they handled that. Like if someone like actually got like freaking hit, or what the deal was with that.
Yeah, very interested to see how the stunt work was.
Yeah, but I mean, the choreography in this was incredible.
Dude, freaking the core, like the two biggest ones that stand out for me are the choreography in Revenge Party.
Oh my gosh, that was a great song.
That, and then freaking the choreography in Karen's Halloween song.
I liked Karen's Halloween song. I actually liked Regina's, like the choreography in that, how she was kind of like basically being like a ghost and hiding around people and all that good stuff, and then like making things move to just disorientate. And like, I thought that was beautifully done.
That was awesome.
I can't, like, there's not a lot of songs or just choreography that doesn't work in this.
Seriously.
I'd say the only one, like, if I had a complaint with any of them, it'd be the Apex Predator one. Seeing everyone kind of like throw around like animals.
That one was a little, it took a minute for me to get used to it. I will say though, I like that scene, Gretchen telling Regina about Jason. I like that happens at school instead of at the mall, like in the original. I feel it worked better for it taking place at school.
But
like I know we get that kind of a scene in the original when they're at the mall with, you know, like them like acting like animals, but adding the music to it and the what they had to do, like it takes you a minute to get used to it. The song's great, I love it, but you're just like, okay, all right, okay, I'm ready, okay, we're good.
Yeah. The cinematography for this was awesome. Like, setting the choreography aside, like I'd say choreography itself, I'm in the high 90s.
Yeah,
like, very high 90s. But the cinematography was freaking beautiful too. I loved when Regina was in her room, like after she discovered what Katie had been doing and how like it was just like lit by the red light.
Yes, oh my god, that was such a great decision.
Yeah. But yeah, that looked great. And again, once like the revenge party like dance and everything, like how bright and vibrant all that was, and it was awesome. It was so freaking good. So I would say, where are you sitting?
I'd say I'm probably sitting at a 92.
I might be a tad higher, sitting at like a 93.
Nice.
All right, next up we got music.
Oh, damn. It's just the fact that we like I'm still in awe that we got such an incredible musical in Wonka at the end of 2023, and then we got another great musical at the beginning of 2024 with Mean Girls. It just freaking blows my mind, and it just makes me happy.
Dude, I am shocked that I enjoyed a musical as much as I did. Because I went in fully expecting to not care for this. And I was blown away. The soundtrack was off the hook. And like I've said before, the thing that I'm always looking for in a soundtrack that's incredible, and this was an incredible soundtrack, so I was sitting at a 9 for a decent portion of this. Like, okay, like totally thinking this is sitting at a 9. And then they hit you with the freaking Regina George song, and then Revenge Party were both freaking bangers. And I'm like, shit. Like, you freaking hit me like duo. So I have a hard time not giving this a 10.
I am happy to give it a 10. More than happy.
Yeah. Oh man, so good. Like,
so good.
The soundtrack here is freaking, like, I can't say enough good things about it. Like, it's
just so freaking good.
Yeah, nothing more to be said there. All right, next up we got costumes.
I thought these were good. I appreciated that you know, they definitely tried to carry some stuff over from the original. Like, I like that all the plastics, except for Gretchen, which I don't think she really wore hers in the original, that like they also wear necklaces that relate to their names. So Regina has one that says R. Karen's actually says fully Karen. And then, of course, when Katie starts becoming plastic, she follows suit. When it comes to the Halloween party, Katie still wears the scary costume and is not like any of the other other girls. And the fact that Gretchen's just like, if you don't dress slutty, you're slut shaming us. I'm like, oh my God.
Dude, they did a great job with these outfits. Like you said, keeping true to the movie. Like, I liked how Katie was wearing like that blue plaid shirt.
Yes.
So like that was like kept in true original Mean Girls fashion, and they had a lot of original outfits, but they didn't rely on them too heavily, and so they were able to throw in some of their own outfits, which I thought worked really well.
One that I especially loved when Katie asked Janice and Damien, like, oh, do you guys have anything pink? And Damien's just like, oh, what shade? And because in the original, it's just, you know, like a pink polo shirt. I love that in this one, not only is it like a pink button-up shirt. I think it was a button-up shirt. Or was it just a pink shirt?
I think it was like a pink shirt and then the big-ass freaking vest.
Yeah, the sweater vest. I loved that so much. Like, yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, it was just a regular pink t-shirt. But yeah, the freaking sweater vest, I loved so much. So like when it comes to like, oh, which like, outfit iterations did you like more? When it comes to like, oh, you know, Katie has to wear pink. The first time Katie wears pink on a Wednesday, this is my favorite one out of the two. Because, I don't know, just it looked great. I loved it.
Yeah. Trying to think of other outfits that stood out. They definitely went above and beyond. I think where the original was probably sitting around a 7, this one I'd give a little bit of a bump, so I'm probably going to end up giving this an 8.
I will match you. Like, yeah. I can't really justify giving it a 9 because like nothing really like truly like just jumps out to you, but I do appreciate that they not only did they you know, try to bring some aspects from the original with the costumes, but they they embraced on it. They added to it. There we go.
Yeah. Dude, I hate to say it, but I think where the you said 2004?
Yeah.
Where the 2004 version is like just an iconic movie, I think this one might be better put together.
You know what? That's fair. I can't argue with you with that. Can we talk about how, you know, how we've said, you know, 2004 and now 2024, that movie turns 20 years old this year?
Oh no.
Does anyone else feel old?
Oh man. It doesn't make me feel too old because I was only 8 years old when that got released.
Same.
So it's like, I don't feel that old, but so don't feel that young either.
Oh, yay. Don't you just love it? Yeah. Don't you just love it, Caleb? Yep. Being this close to 30. It's so great. I love it.
Yeah. It's fantastic.
Yeah. What yeah. Caleb did.
All right. Last up, we got our own personal score.
All right, who do you want to go first?
Up to you.
I want to hear your opinion first, if you're cool with that.
Okay. I went into this movie fully expecting to not like it. And I am so glad that I did. I was blown away by how much I enjoyed this movie. It was a great time. I thought the humor was on point. Every aesthetic that they wanted to hit was beautifully done. And like I said, really appreciated some of the artistic choices that they took with this. It's definitely not like super high up on my list. I definitely feel this is a better put together movie than maybe that I enjoyed. So I think I'm going to end up giving this an 83.
It's not bad. Yeah, absolutely agree with everything Caleb said. This is a great updated version of the original. The fact that it's a musical adaptation of, or I guess it's an adaptation of the musical from Broadway, just it makes it feel more special. It doesn't feel like, it truly doesn't feel like just a remake, which I really appreciate because the songs are amazing, the cast is amazing, just everything is great here. And I was very cautious about this movie. Like, I was hoping that it was going to be good for how much I love the original. But yeah, I'm with Caleb, just freaking blew the expectations out of the water. And I walked out absolutely loving it. So personal score, I think I'm just going to be a little above Caleb and I'm going to go an 86.
All right. Well, with that, all right, going through these scores real quick, starting off with story, we ended up averaging at an 87.5. Writing ended up going a little bit down, sitting at an 86. Acting got a pretty decent bump, sitting at a 90.5. Character development is sitting at an 83. The effects is sitting at a 92.5, and that's 100% due to choreography. The music is getting a 10 out of 10, as most musicals tend to do on this show.
Yeah, it's true.
The costumes were slightly better than average, so we're going to give those an 8 out of 10. And then our personal score ended up averaging out to an 84.5. So with that, the final All Bros letter grade for Mean Girls has come out to a B+.
Hell yeah.
Woo! I am very happy with that.
Dude,
I am
too. Dude, freaking the I love this new system for like the anticipation that you have. I don't think Gail touched upon it, but he changed our grading system and how we run things with how it's laid out. He put so much effort into it, and like I'm so grateful for it because like it makes it so much more of an event now. It already was an event, but now it's even more so. Because once he puts everything in, like, you know, like we do the drum roll, huge letters, it now says final grade for Mean Girls, B+. It's amazing. I love it.
Dude, it's great. Like, so for those of you that don't know, the way that we typically did this is we'd fill out our scores. It would calculate an average and then spit out the letter grade for us. But while we were reading out what the percentages was, like what our stuff was averaging out to, like we already knew what the grade was. So like we would sit and see what the grade was, and then I'd read it off and just be like, oh, I got this. And I would know what it was. Rose wouldn't typically, like, unless he was looking on that page, but there was no like real surprise about it. So I changed some stuff around and created some scripts and whatnot. So now there's a button that we push to reveal the grade. And so, yeah, it's like Rose said, it's a little bit more of an event. And I do love the anticipation because I clicked it and I got giddy. Ready?
Dude, seriously, I love it.
Yeah. So that's what he's talking about. But yeah, B+. I think that's well earned.
Absolutely. That is perfect. That makes me very happy. That is so fetch.
Dude, absolutely. All right. Now to find out where it's ranking. So it is sitting at an 88.63. Or actually, let me boop.
Not bad at all.
Okay, so actually it's an 88.62. Sorry. Well, okay, okay, question for you.
Yeah.
So we can change like the decimal point. Do we want to do it like with 3 decimal points or just 2? Because if we do 2, it's going to average out to like the nearest 100th, where if we do it with the other, it's going to do the nearest 1,000th. And there's like a little bit of a difference between some of these.
I don't know. What are your thoughts?
That I don't know. Yeah, we'll just do the three, because okay, that's the system I've been reading off of.
Okay.
All right. Sounds so good. Mean Girls 2024 is sitting at an 88.62, which puts it on the exact same level. It's actually a four-way tie.
Damn.
Yeah. So it is tied with Luca, Top Gun Maverick, and Halloween 2018.
Damn. That's awesome.
Right? Yeah. So that's where it's sitting currently, sitting at a B+. So going what it is, you want to go above or below first?
Let's hear above.
Above. All right. So it is currently sitting above Bros.
All right. I am okay with that.
It is above How to Train Your Dragon 2.
All right.
It's above Glass Onion.
All right.
The Invisible Man.
Oh, wow.
And The Prom.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
Yeah. Going the opposite direction, it is sitting below Five Nights at Freddy's.
All right.
It is below Saw X.
That's fair.
Yeah. It's below Matilda the Musical.
Oh, wow. Damn.
It's below The Mitchells versus the Machines. And then it is below Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. And all of these movies ended up were sitting at a B+.
All right. Hell yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Dude, that's, okay. I like its placement. I really do.
Same here. I think it has a really decent home.
Yeah. I like that it's right next to a lot of other musicals, like freaking Matilda, The Prom. That's awesome.
Yeah, right in between those two.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love that.
Yeah, like it is 0.4% away from Matilda the Musical, and 0.5 away from The Prom.
Not bad.
So it's not even like a full percentage difference.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. But yeah, right, so we're sitting.
Yeah, sweet. Well, unless you got anything else you want to say about Mean Girls 2024?
Nope.
All right, well then, I think that's going to do it for this episode. If you guys like what you heard and want to hear more, be sure to subscribe to us wherever you listen to podcasts. We are damn near everywhere. You can find us on Spotify, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, all of that jazz. If you prefer to listen on YouTube, you can find us there. The Allbro, isn't it just the Allbro's channel, right?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. Just making sure. If you want to get in contact with us, you can email us. We are at the Allbros channel at gmail.com. If you want to check out our social media, where you can check out our mini movie recommendations that we do. You can answer our questions of the week, or if you want to recommend a movie that you want us to break down, feel free to. We are at Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok, all at the Allbros. If you want to check out our merch store, it is tpublic.com/user/theallbroschannel, where you can find Caleb's amazing artwork that he does for every single episode. After 300 episodes, he still blows me away with every single piece that he does for every episode. Shut up. Wow. You know, excuse me for trying to boist up my friend, my best friend, my bro, my brother. Excuse me. Okay, maybe that was a little kiss ass.
Jeez, you're laying it on pretty thick.
Just a little. But yeah, so next week, it is kind of up in the air what we're going to do. We have two different directions that we can go, so it will be a surprise for both sides, so that's gonna be fun. But anyway, you can listen, you can look forward to whatever happens next week. But until then, this has been the All Bros Podcast. I am Jonathan,
and I'm Caleb.
We'll catch you guys next week. Shalom,
deuces.